Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject that you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given by the announcer, or you can contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. You know, if we are blessed enough in this life to be able to say that we have a true companion, we are truly blessed indeed. Our English word companion comes from an old French word, companion, which in turn is based on a Latin word, venin com, which is together with, and panis, which is bread. So its literal meaning originally meant one with whom we sat down together to eat bread. A true companion is one with whom we feel no fear. We're at ease in their presence, and we're comfortable enough to eat bread with them. We're close enough to share of our substance, and close enough to sit at the table in our homes or those and share our thoughts together. The term really is synonymous with an associate, a mate, or friend. And most of mankind seeks another whom that they can call a worthy companion. In fact, the dictionary defines this term in such a way that we can begin to understand the appeal that a true companion has. And it gives us the characteristics of a true companion. It says, a person who is frequently in the company of, associates with, or accompanies another. You know, we have seen such pairing, most likely in our own experiences, and we often ourselves seek such relationships. In fact, at the very best, this is one who seeks for our potential spouse. We want someone who will be known as our other half, and one who's frequently in our company. We want someone who will be our mate, and even our closest friend. So those that seek a marriage partner seek a true companion, not just a source of financial support, not just a project to be fixed, or certainly not someone to simply claim as another tax deduction. In fact, the wise writer speaks of the blessings of true companions, and I believe we can easily recognize the wisdom and the truthfulness of his words. We read from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, beginning with verse 9 and reading through verse 12. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they shall keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You know, if you've ever had a true companion in this earthly walk, you smile with knowing appreciation of the wisdom that's been expressed in those words there in Solomon spoke in Ecclesiastes 4. And you have a remembrance of having your companion to lift you up, or of the times when they stood with you against the opposition. And should we be separated from these companions, we sorrow over their loss and we long for the possibility of enjoying their company once again. You know, in the marriage relationship, our partner should be a true companion. But we need that mate and that friend who will be there for us and with us through what we call the thick and the thin. We need a partner to stand with us and that will lift us up when we fall. We need someone that will turn us around and direct us back to the straight and the narrow way when we ever stray. A wise man once told me, the hardest thing for a Christian to do is to go to heaven alone. And you know, I believe he's right. And those words of wisdom are often confirmed by observing of my own life and the observing of the life of others. True companions are treasures here on earth. And we must admit that there are companions, though, who are not ones that will help us to get to heaven. In fact, again, the wise writer warns against becoming companions of certain individuals. We read about this over in the book of Proverbs. First of all, let's look at Proverbs 13. In Proverbs 13, we notice, reading verse 20, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Also, while we're here in Proverbs, look a little further in Proverbs chapter 28. In Proverbs 28, let's look at verse 7. Whoever keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons chains his father. And let's look at one more. In Proverbs, the 29th chapter, notice as we read verse 3. Whoever loves wisdom makes his father rejoice, but a companion of harlots wastes his wealth. You see, one whose stated goal is heaven is not going to likely reach that goal if he surrounds himself with those that would hinder him and have constantly had their mind set on the things of this earth. Anyone that seeks to attain to eternal life will seek out a companion or companions who will help them in that endeavor and will avoid making friendship with those of the world. You remember James says in James 4 and verse 4, know ye not that friendship of this world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore that would be a friend of this world is the enemy of God. And you know, we would do well to remember the caution that was given to us of the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, he starts off by saying, be not deceived. And what is it that we not be deceived about? Evil company corrupts good habits. So instead of seeking out friends whose hearts are set on this world, we should be seeking out friendship and true companions in the faith, ones that will help us spiritually. But what are some of the characteristics of such a person? How can we recognize them? I want us to consider in the remainder of our time a few notable characteristics that should be clearly visible to us and help us to identify the type of companion that we all need. First of all, there are the spiritually minded. Really, you know, it should go without saying that many Christians seem to overlook the obvious. If you want to go to heaven, surround yourself with people that want to go too. Let's never forget that we are supposed to be people who walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. And we are to be of those that do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Romans 8 and verse 1. So if this is the case, and if heaven is truly our goal, it makes no sense to make friends with those whose minds are firmly set on earthly things, for they will certainly not be a help to us, but that they will be a hindrance. Then, too, a characteristic is a person that has genuine love. You know, it's difficult, if not really outright impossible, to discern at a glance who truly loves you versus the one who merely says they love you. Many vocally express their love for one another, but it's not seen often enough in their lives or in their actions. You know, Jesus plainly tells us that the love for one another is how the world will know that we are his disciples in John 13, verses 34 and 35. And anything less than this puts us into an unfavorable light. Genuine love for one another will cause a friend to restore us if we're in error, Galatians 6 and verse 1. It'll correct us when we have wronged them, like in Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, and even withstand us to the face if necessary, like Paul did Peter in Galatians 2, beginning with verse 11. They don't seek to embarrass us, they just want to keep us from losing our place in heaven. Then another characteristic is sacrifice. You know, a true companion is one that's willing to give of his or her time and energy. True love demands that we be willing to give up what we have for others. And we see examples like that recorded within God's Word, like when the church was first established in the book of Acts. It was not very long until Acts 2, verses 44 and 45, as well as chapter 4, talks about the concern that they had for one another, those that were in need. And how did the churches of Macedonia contributed to the saints that were in Jerusalem, even though the churches of Macedonia themselves were in poverty, as 2 Corinthians chapter 8 talks about. Some gave their possessions, some opened their homes, some even gave their lives for the sake of others. Does anyone doubt that those who benefited remembered their sacrificial acts with great gratitude? You know, by now we may have recognized someone that fulfills the description of a true companion, and who has all of these characteristics. Maybe we've recognized that this describes our Lord. You see, we could have no more worthy companion than Jesus. He's the one that genuinely cared for us, to the point that he left behind the glories of heaven and humbled himself, living in the lowly form of man, dying the cruel death on the cross. Why did he do it? He did it for our benefit. You may remember that he demonstrated genuine love for us in that same act of dying on the cross, exceeding even his own definition of the greatest love in John 15 and verse 13, and greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for his friends. You may remember that he made the greatest sacrifice he could make. That was himself, and he did it for all of us. You know, maybe you're one that feels alone in this world without a true companion. And if that is you, then know that there is one who is willing to walk with you all of the way to heaven. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, as stated in Romans 8 and verse 39. But to benefit from that love, you must be willing to leave behind the things of this world and begin walking the path that leads to heaven. Yes, you'll have to give up worldly friends and maybe even family relationships, but those relationships can't get you to heaven. They most often are the things that prevent you from getting there. Christ will be your friend. He will stand up for you when it matters in that day of judgment, and he lives to do just that. Truly, he is a worthy companion. Friends, we see our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.